Can't seem to find a place for me to stay. had to say. And I found out after search all night and day. But it was my soul that came back to say hello. And all the other people saw it glow. And just the other day,
there we go. Following Rob Heron, there was Heal the Last Stand playing Sailor and Soul Shanty. So I couldn't resist playing another of the Sea Shanty Choir tunes there. Heal the Last Stand, I really like those guys. They're lovely people. They had their new CD, which was recorded live at the museum in Wrexham earlier on this year, 2014. And they just had a little pile of their CDs. They said, here's some CDs we made at home, please help yourself. And lovely band, really. There'll be another one from them, I think, a little bit later. The Sea Shanty thing, a bit like the other interviews, it's been a tad muffled by the voice recorder, which is a bit of a shame. My kind of production facilities are very limited here, and using just a simple battery-powered device for recording stuff out in the field where there's breeze and a lot of background noise. Sometimes it works better than others, but the Sea Shanty Choir was basically, we had two workshops in our Trad Academy workshop yurt, which is a 24-foot yurt, a very, very beautiful thing. And I think the first workshop, there were 150 people there, somewhere well over 100 at the second one. We had 2 hours practice and put together 8 shanties. It was a character called Pete Tuin, who came up from London. He runs a sea shanty choir down there. And as I said, he had 2 hours with us and put together. We had a great time. Actually, it's a shame you can't hear the actual verve with which it was all performed in front of the stage. But they got a great reception, and I really enjoyed it. I only sing reluctantly, a little more reluctantly than I dance, it has to be said. But that sort of thing, where you've got a really great kind of chorus to holler out and stuff like that, it was marvellous. And Hanging Johnny, that guy, he hanged everybody. He hanged the skipper, he hanged the bosun, he hanged his granny, he hanged his family, he hanged the whole lot, and some of them he hung by their fingers. They're very, very chirpy songs, eh? So the workshop, yeah, there was the usual loads of stuff went on in there. We had choir in the mountain, we had squeeze box workshops, we had a thing called claw hammer banjo, which I wasn't around for. It sounded pretty interesting. I'm not sure what one is. Making a mummer's play. It was supposed to be clowning, supposed to be a couple of hours clowning, and I was willing to go for that myself, because I do a bit of arsing about, like, and it'd be nice to know how the professionals do it, eh? There was the Appalachian Flatfoot dancing, which I enjoyed a lot last year, but I sat by and watched it this year, because that is really, really exhausting. So loads of stuff went in there. Bones playing, singing with a toucan ukulele, and the one thing, the question I forgot to ask John Preston from the tribute band, he was down at 7 p.m. on the Sunday to do a workshop on bogus authenticity in songs. And do you know, when I was doing the interview with him, I entirely forgot to ask him what that was going to be about, which is a shame, because I think it might have been quite interesting. Bit of Scottish dancing in the workshop yurt as well. That was one of mine and Synchro's main responsibilities, is to arrive early enough to put the big yurt up, and then to help look after it, host it, make sure everybody in there's got what they need, and then take it down again and put it back on the truck afterwards. We also got a couple of bonus yurts to take down. They're very lovely things, yurts. If you haven't encountered one, I thoroughly recommend spending a bit of time in there if you can, and they're really great fun to put up and take down. Beautiful, simple buildings that are actually acoustically live. We had a 24-foot one, an 18-foot one, and a 14-foot one at the fire in the mountain, and they've all got this kind of, they've got a little lifted bit in the centre of the round roof, and if you're omming or singing or playing a recorder or something like that, the bits round the centre sound different. As soon as you walk into the middle of the yurt, there's a bit more brilliance and a bit more life to the sound. So perhaps that's something I could do next time, is find empty yurts to do my recordings in, because there we really would get the kind of volume to match the volume of the music. There you go. We're just going to have to put up with it being slightly less than perfect. There'll be a little bit more from the Sea Shanty Choir at the very end of the show. I think I'll probably play out with them. In the meantime, we've got something that's become something of a... it's a sort of annual event, really, is Dr. Rock and Synchro meeting up with Anthony Bayliss and his lady Sam, because they always come along and do the security at the fire in the mountain. This year, Anthony's boss was with him, so he was running the gig rather than Anthony, which made it a bit different, in my opinion. Anthony's approach to these things is extremely gentle. He's got an amazing way with people and with managing difficult situations and with getting even the most difficult people to feel that he's being sympathetic towards them, which is a fantastic way of avoiding trouble. And I mean, I remember in one of our early interviews, he said that he had a pretty unruly security crew with him somewhere, and he had to explain to them that there was like a couple of thousand people at the festival and only like a dozen security guys, so going in there kind of bullheaded and arsey was really only ever going to get him into trouble. And this is the last talky bit for tonight. It's a bit longer than the others. We would have liked to have got it done earlier in the show, because we did have many, many chats, but we didn't get a chance to find anywhere kind of quiet enough or suitable for recording. As it was, at the end of the festival, we have a kind of crew night. When the bar, we put all the trestle tables in the bar, and we all eat together, and there's free beer and wine and singing and lots of other things. And basically Anthony and I took an hour or so out from that celebration to go and sit outside the tent. And basically this is a couple of geezers chewing the fat, if you like, about the festival, about festivals in general, about what we've enjoyed, what we think we can do with what we've learned there. And I hope you enjoy listening to the conversation as much as I enjoyed having it. There's going to be some more tunes and stuff. It looks to me like I'm going to be running over the midnight, playing a bit of extra music and all that kind of stuff. I trust you will bear with me. I don't think there's anything on the stream after me, but in the meantime, here's a bit of me chatting with Anthony Bayliss, the only security man that Dr. Rock has ever truly loved. Here we are again, Anthony, my man, the only security man that Dr. Rock has ever truly loved.
Hi, Doc.
How's it been for you, dude?
It's been quite a hard year, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah, just normal life. I normally blame the world for my problems, but it's been more closer to home. I've finally come to the decision we've got our own internal fight that we have to fight. And I believe when we win that fight, the whole world will win it as well.
That's right. They are putting it on the peace polls, or on the old peace polls, it said, inner peace leads to world peace.
That's what it's global at local. Yeah.
Do you think it's actually a matter of a battle and a fight, or do you think it's a matter of just getting used to ourselves?
Well, it shouldn't be a fight. We fight ourselves, don't we? We've got that demon fight against good. Should we do this? Should we do that? And then before we know it, the day's gone. Whereas once we know we've won, to get to this stage in evolution, we're all winners. We've just been, I believe, indoctrinated to tell us that we're losers.
Yeah, yeah.
And even though we know we're winners, that loser aspect keeps nagging at us.
It's really hard to beat conditioning. That's the thing. Because that's what it is. And I think that's one of the things that's most important about gigs like this, is it gives us a chance to break out of the conditioning. Because we're doing something completely different here.
A lot of it's gone here, isn't it? There isn't that material, there isn't that backstabbing, there isn't that... There's just nice people. Yeah, they're not... They haven't quite reached their equilibrium. But in life... I mean, your good lady just said, you know, it's nothing is fact. It's just how we perceive things, and it's not necessarily fact. But I see it as a fact that there's a lot of good people at this festival. A lot of, it's a bringing of morals. That's the word that springs to mind here. You know, I'm a bit of a chav, and I am.
Bless you.
I like, and to look at these people, I may have prejudged their cover to know who they are, because they are kind of professional, organised. They've got their degrees. They've got a God-given talent with their music. So many musicians you find at Fire in the Mountains. You know, instruments just come out from here, there and everywhere. And they're not warming up, they're not practicing, they're just, how they say, jamming.
Yeah.
And it's just, to me, that is the festival.
And isn't it supportive? Isn't it amazing to find yourself amongst so many people who want to help? You know, it's not something that many of us experience at all, maybe. You know, but once you've got a team, I mean, we're here now, we've just had our crew meal, and there's free beer available.
Well, we're told if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true.
Yeah.
That's been, like you say, we've been conditioned into us.
Yeah.
Whereas here, like myself, They're all genuinely good people. They'd rather do someone a good turn than a bad turn.
Yeah.
You know, sure, I can see the certain prejudice. There is a certain level of eliteness to this that we've all been programmed, we've all been conditioned. But it's a beautifulness here. You know, even when we see the local Welsh nationalists that want... I had a conversation last night with one of the locals that, can't we bring a few of these refugees? We've got 900,000 of them pumped into this country. Can't we send them to the valleys? And, you know, back in the day, they used to have them sleep, building the rocks for 10 years, and what they made, they kept. Now, couldn't we charge them rent for smoothing a couple of these counties, you know? I mean, I'm all for God's given and touched land. This is magical, and that it's magical land, but it's a bit selfish to have that many acres, I think, and put 40% of our national population within the M25.
Yeah.
We're poisoning them. We're putting them in ghettos, yeah. Basically. We are like the Nazis in that respect. You know, I'm Welsh, you know, my name Bayliss is Welsh, and, you know, I want to be proud to be Welsh, and I am, you know, the traditions, same as the Masons, they've preserved it, they may have been horrible the way they preserved it, but if it had been the likes of the general population, it'd have all been destroyed.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that they've kept this natural and beautiful,
yeah.
God love them.
Yeah.
But, come on, we've got to share it a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's great to have the opportunity to do that, because, I mean, let's face it, there's quite a few Welsh speakers here, but by and large, the crews here are from Bristol, London,
Liverpool.
And Liverpool, and they're the three main contingents. But...
And on a deeper level, and what they've done here is because they are a very insular people here, that, you know, that there's rivalries between the next valley. You know, and to me,
we say that's why they ended up with 49.5% voting against independence, and sort of 50.5% voting for, or whatever it was, is we couldn't agree. If, you know, between North Wales, South Wales, West Wales, the borders, we couldn't agree which side to butter a slice of bread, and there's only two sides to a slice of bread.
But you can see that there's they'd fight fervently for change, and I love that to a certain extent, you know, because once you do build a new ring road, then you have the McDonald's, then you have the KFC, then you have the B&Q, then you have, you know, kind of everywhere is the same wherever you go in the globe.
And we've just seen that in Llandod, where we live, with the arrival of Tesco.
Mm-hmm.
It introduced traffic lights to the town for the first time.
Right.
It introduced a couple of new roundabouts. It's changed the road flow past chip shops to remove business from them. And it has completely changed the place. You know, you can see it just dying on its feet. But I really feel that, you know, I crew at a lot of festivals, I've been to a lot of festivals in the last 30 years or so, but I really feel that what we see at Fire in the Mountain is something very special. Not just because of the musicians, not just because the security are lovely instead of representing insecurity, but there is something, we're making something new here. You know, the festivals now are not the same as they were, as they have been up till now. And I'd like to think that the kind of crew we've got here, there must be, 70, 80 people in that barn at the moment, all of whom have come from all over the place, and all of whom are here to support the rest. And the result has been a really peaceful, beautiful festival. I mean, there hasn't been any trouble at all, has there?
Well, it's very difficult to cause trouble when you're around really nice people. And there was half a dozen last year that wanted to, that didn't even bother trying to come back this year. Because actually, when you're around moral, ethical, switched on, chilled out people, idiots are seen to be who they really are.
They don't have the cover, do they?
When they're with other idiots and other fools,
yeah.
They can be the top idiots, the top fools,
yeah.
And run ragged around people.
Yeah.
But there's a level of enlightenment here amongst the people that is inspirational.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen 6-year-old kid busking, you know. And
I saw that as well. With amazing. With his inflatable guitar.
That's his friend. That was his friend. He learnt the trade, trick of the trade from his brother.
Yeah.
I think that one, the inflatable one was 7. The other one was 6. And the girl must have been 3 with the rocks, firing the mountain rocks. They were just bits of slate off the ground.
Yeah.
But she must have made a good killing. I watched, you know, because people were inspired by the level of entrepreneurship of such young and innocent, beautiful children.
And I think, again,
in a safe environment.
It's an aspect of the support that's given to people here for doing what they want to do and what they do best, whatever that might be.
Well, I had tears in my eyes there when I said thanks to the parents, because these kids are privileged kids. Most of these, you can see, they might even be considered, some of their family circles, as black sheep, because they're not all trained surveyors and solicitors, but you can see they've had good education. These youth here, well, we're 47, you're in your 50s now, bro.
I am.
So they are, they're 20, they are the new generation.
Yeah.
And inspirational. I was just speaking to them that been around Africa, Tanzania, Zimbabwe, all those places, with confidence, and because of the morals and the respect that had been inherited and given to them, they was fine.
Yeah.
That level of love, they put the fear on us. They tell us we're not allowed to go here and there and don't go here. But a good heart goes a long way.
And that's where morality lies, isn't it? Morality is to do with the true heart. It's one of those words that's been given a bit of a bad spin. But I agree with you. I agree that really what brings this together is a sound moral basis. And a desire to help and a desire to make a beautiful thing. And, of course, the commitment to then follow it through. Because it's a hell of a punt putting on an outside show in Wales at any time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are utterly committed, and the place is beautiful, it looks great, and it doesn't matter where you are on the Fire in the Mountain site or how much you're enjoying what you're looking at. You're missing 80% of it.
Well, the thing is, they've ticked the right boxes first. They've found a place of outstanding beauty to hold the event. You go to the likes of Reading, it's on a car park in the middle of a town. I mean, it's still a good festival, and there is a bit of a river along the side, and they've even put a free ferry boat on to try and fluff it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And Thames Valley Police were a lot better than the Metropolitan Police, so it could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be worse. But, at the same token, they're all herded in like sheep, 100,000 people, tent to tent to tent to tent, you can't move, you can't breathe, just take the drugs and get on with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas here, it's like, have a nice conversation. Go and have a massage. Have a nice smoothie. Talk to people. Good. Sit around the campfire and listen to the music. It's just on a totally different level.
Yeah.
That inspires the inner people that we really are. The inner person that's been suppressed by alarm clock. Get to work. Do this. Do that. Here it's the beat of the drum, the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the flute, the sound of the trombone, the smile on people's faces. I mean, the kids running around in the mud. I mean, I had to slide some to help someone get out of the mud today. We had beautiful weather all weekend, but this morning come down, didn't it, they were leaving.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we are really throwing ourselves in the jaws of, really. We are wholly at the mercy of the weather. We had a bit, it's been beautiful, hasn't it?
Well, now you say that, Doc, now I want to have this conversation, because I believe we are of the elements, and I believe that we can interact with the elements, and I believe negativity creates negativity. So if we're feeling really down and we're the alpha male in the area, we can bring that black cloud over and we can make that rain.
Just one person can do that for everybody else.
We're all interacting with each other. There's lots of human beings interacting, but like Adolf Hitler, he had the whole population in mass hypnosis. One bloke.
Yeah.
And I believe if you got a strong willpower, it's your aura that creates. So people wake up in the morning feeling tired, want to shit, got to go to work. Clouds come over. You come in, just wow, it's a beautiful day. Your positivity just overtakes all their negativity.
Yeah.
But living in society with microwaves, Vodafone signals, O2 signals, television signals, all that, is very hard to be the alpha male that controls that environment with everyone's negativity. But I believe certain willpowers and certain personalities have the power to change them and work with the elements.
And when you get loads of such people in one field, because actually several people have said to me that the fire in the mountain has worked its usual magic on the weather.
There's a saying, the sun shines on the righteous.
That's it, yeah. We are in Wales. We've been here 3 years now, and it was slightly damp 3 years ago, but it wasn't wet. This year we got all the vehicles out of the field before the rain came.
I remember 2 years ago we left here and there was absolute floods, bad, crazy.
Yeah.
Two days after we left.
There was, in Aberystwyth. Mm. I remember that. Yeah, floods in Aberystwyth.
I mean, we can't... I mean, I believe the technology people, the higher beings or whoever they are, the elite, so-called elite, have powers to play with the elements. And they'll suppress us for saying we can do that. For me saying I can move the clouds could get me section ordered.
Yeah.
Saying it to a wrong doctor.
Yeah.
Who's lucky I'm speaking to Dr. Rock.
Well, it is down to the fact that one of the reasons I think why they have that kind of power is because they've been concentrating their intent for thousands of years, and they've been trained to do it. The thing is that inside us, we understand the synthesis of light and shadow inside, and what's happening now is you're starting to see the intent pointed towards the benefits of us all, and towards making it work, rather than making it a kind of shadow-strewn and difficult environment to live in. What's been your favourite bit of this year? What did you enjoy particularly, do you think?
Let me think about that one for a second. Because, you know, familiarity leads to content, and it's my third year now. So the bubble has burst a little bit, I'll be honest, for me.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the extra little bits of icing on the cake. And in fact, the most precious thing that I took from this festival is the local redneck, Mr. Wim. He's a proper Welsh nationalist. You know, grew up in the area. And I actually got a call. I was at the gate and one of the organisers was being engrossed by him, and could I use my banter to kind of diffuse it and to...
Yeah.
So I got into a conversation with the gentleman. I found him very nice, traditionalist, kind of a bit rednecky, but, you know, if you've got good morals, stick to your morals, you know. And so I liked him. But what I took was from it was when he said, this land 4 years ago was a tip. And now, 4 years of having this festival, the work they're putting to do the festival has left a lasting mark on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Putting slates on the roof.
And that is the function, of course. Fire in the Mountain is a not-for-profit organisation which was set up to restore this place that we're in.
Oh, fantastic.
And so every year a little bit of stuff's done. You see a new roof turn up on a little outbuilding. You see a bridge over the stream. And that's really what the festival's here for, apparently.
That's what makes it most beautiful for me. Yeah. Because, you know, in this world with starvation and dying and wars and famine and fucked up things. It's quite difficult to be self-indulgent and enjoy yourself. Mm. But when you know you're part of a cooperative that are building a better and brighter and beautiful place, and we realise that if we don't relax and unwind and meet like-minded spirits, we will end up in the Natas or in the grave.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we can rightfully enjoy ourselves on this level.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, you take that back out of here with you. You know, it is almost as if, I mean, we're actually a long way out here. We, you know, you have limited, obviously, we've got the big generator and stuff like that out there. But there's no mobile signal here. For anybody. One of the things that really, one of the things that I really enjoy about it is that when you are at the fire in the mountain, you're at the fire in the mountain. I don't know about you, but my mind hasn't wandered out of these fields since I arrived 6
Well, there's certain things that normally I think, oh, I'd like to get my internet signal for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But to be honest, even the 5 hours I went off to
Wolverhampton.
Yeah. Even
that time for you, mate.
I didn't want to take my laptop. I didn't want to get, you know, I was happy to get back here.
Yeah.
And your good lady just said, it's not being in the past, it's not in the, it's being in the now.
Yeah.
And personal interaction and personal kind of connections, you can't be it, can you, brother?
No.
You know, and your Facebook friends, they're a bit more anonymous, they're a bit more superficial, aren't they? It is good, and I'm not going to down cry that technology, because it's got its purpose.
Yeah,
but you can't beat the human interaction and that. And I saying that, I'm
so many of us don't ever experience it. That's the thing.
Well, we lose it, don't we? Because of you know, like I was stabbed and all that. You know, and it made me not be able to trust people, and it's. And then your family let you down, and then you know, your heart's broken a little bit, and then you get a lady lets you down, and your heart's broken more, and you do get toughened up, unfortunately, to it, and immune to to kindness, and you expect the worst, and I'm a firm believer in what you see is what you get, and because we see shit, we get shit. You know, and we need to be a bit more innocent. We need to be a bit more kind of let the past go, rebuild the future, but having a community that is similar to this and making the right networks through that, that's the only way we can do it.
And it is like coming home here, isn't it? I mean, we've both been here 3 years maybe, and we've met these people for this given length of time only at this time of year and stuff. But when I came here this year, it really was like, it was like arriving at a place that I'd just been yearning to get to.
Well, I'll be honest, there's people that's calling me Anthony that I couldn't remember their faces at first. But and it was so nice that, hi Anthony, hi Anthony. And it was that, oh, hiya.
Yeah.
But there was, again, 6 or 7 faces that was just like, you got that warm feeling straight away.
Yeah.
As soon as you've seen them. And obviously you were the top one, you and Jess. Fantastic. It was pretty also, they better be there.
Yeah.
They better be there.
We knew you would be here. We did. And the thing is, the crew hasn't changed. We've got more, we've got additional people, but the core team that set about this 4 years ago are still here, still beavering away at it and learning. That's the thing, is that each year we've come, it's been better because the lessons, the things that were experienced last year didn't result in breakdown, it didn't result in strop and losing people from the team and all that. What they resulted in was better ways of doing things.
Yeah,
and that's,
work through it kind of thing.
We've really got to see the world going that way, haven't we?
Yeah.
And not, instead of
just dismissing
trauma
it,
and
throwing it away, oh, that was a mistake, oh, throw it away, destroy it. No. Just peek it, tweak it.
Yeah.
Readjust it.
Yeah.
And redo it. And as long as it's in the name of morality, in the, it's not in the name of don't give a fuck, I want it.
Yeah.
No, I want us all to have it. And I want us to have it because of this. Then we can all have it.
Yeah. And that very approach means that when you do get people who are turning up who want to cause a bit of trouble, they tend to get tend to get absorbed rather than causing the trouble.
Well, isn't that brilliant to say, yeah, we embrace those people because we're so powerful in our collective. We feel we could take 10 thugs.
Yeah.
And leave them lot in tears with smiles on their faces.
People have had a magnificent time this weekend and they're all taking that stuff out with them. Mm. It really is going to make a difference. And I think that even people who've been a little bit disturbed, a little bit standoffish or that kind of stuff, it's very difficult to resist the open hearts of all the other people. And it does, it's one of the things that I'd really love to get people who used to go to festivals who don't anymore, maybe because they got married.
But I think we still got to take it to a further level with the message and that, and how we do it and how we move forward, rather than just our little gathering. That
what do you think?
Beautiful.
Where do you think we should? Because obviously we need to take this kind of solution and this kind of inspiration, this kind of love to the rest of society. Do you think we're going to be able to do that?
Well, what do they to think is to tempt failure, and to know is to know you, it will be done, that kind of thing. And, yeah, and to know that there is a level of morality here, it's common sense. You know, when you see the festivals where they're all lost on the nitrous oxide and they're trying to rob each other and rip each other off and take the piss out of each other, you can see it's this destructive way, whereas this, it's constructive, it's soothing, it's caring, it's self-preserving, you know, to get on with person. It's a lot easier than to be an enemy.
Yeah.
You've got to keep on your toes, but once you know you got a brother next to you, you can relax.
Yeah.
So we all realise it's the way we have to go.
Do you think it's what we've lost? Do you think it's kind of gone that we used to be like this?
Well, it's lost from a lot of the generation. They are kind of like zombies. I'm not being funny. They are. Mm. They're completely lost. But there are people that still have them. And coming to a festival like this refreshes that knowledge that there are good people still out there. But we have to realise on that level what we can do as a team, on a, not just on a infrastructural level, but on a psychological and evolutional level.
Yeah.
So we're positioning people just to, right, you two are on that gate to make people smile. All right? You two, you're skipping up and down that road all day. We've got to get people holding hands and skipping.
Yeah.
Yeah? You're drawing them into that workshop. There, we're going to get the onions going to give them an appetite because they've been up on. We're going to use subliminal, psychological, all the bullshit things that they've done just for material. But we're going to do it in the name of love. And when you do it on that level, as the professional Hollywood type of people have done, to manipulate and to grab the masses in, like a fruit machine can or Coca-Cola colours can, or that motto or label can do, when we know on that level, which we already know, and start doing it, then we can hypnotise the masses in the name of love.
Yeah.
And send them off on their way.
Yeah, yeah.
We know we have that power.
Yeah.
And it's time to do it, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. And wouldn't it be amazing to think that the kind of things that are being practiced here and put into reality, if you like, wouldn't it be amazing to think that in the end we might end up with Reading-sized festivals, we might end up with 100,000 people in a place operating.
You'd be taking over cities, bruv. Yeah. You know, the whole press, the whole world. You know, you'd be doing the Mexican wave. You know, like how you got all them people with the candles and that.
Yeah.
When you got 100,000 people in and you're going into, actually, we're leaving the festival ground now and we're doing that into the population, like the Pied Piper.
Yeah. And the thing is with Reading is that when you go there, the town makes a lot of money out of that festival. I used to go to the Reading Rock Festival. I went there for 5-6 years in a row. And what we used to take there was our money to buy beer. They used to build the counters in the off-licences out of crates of beer.
Mm-mm-mm.
You used to literally buy the content. I mean, they must have made shed loads. But we need to take more than just the money to the towns where we're going. because this, the kind of feeling that goes out of these places, it stays with people and they do take it back to their families and to their workplaces and things like that. I think hopefully this one, I know that Fire in the Mountain is now is establishing local relationships. We've got kind of local liaison. We buy as much of the stuff as we can locally. But wouldn't it be great if we could take some of the actual atmosphere of what's going on here and some of the feeling, like you say, morals, it's a fair word to use, some of the love, some of the open heart, and start spreading it into the population. Already they seem to be, I've had several people when I was hanging around at the gate just seeing who was coming in, and I was just doing work there, you know, putting this up, all of that.
The first thing that comes to my mind is, we need a manifesto.
Yeah, well, we are the manifesto.
We are it. But the people, they can feel it.
Yeah.
But they need spoon feeding.
Yeah.
So when we go in, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is who we are. This is what we believe.
Did we have many locals in this time? Because I know last year they were turning up late at night and you were letting them in. Did anybody take advantage of the fact that they could...
Well, 10 o'clock last night, was it maybe 11 that we had... Three cars come in, but they all give Stefan a fiver each. They only got charged a fiver.
Yeah.
And they all give fiver straight away, and he gives it straight to Dolly. So they weren't gate crashers anymore. They were included. They're paid guests.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that mentality makes things different.
Yeah.
I'm a bit, ooh, I'm a gate crasher. You're a payer. Mm. Separate.
Yeah. I was know, one of the, in the first year we spoke together, that was one of the things you said to me that really... really struck me was that we are in their garden.
Mm-mm.
And of course they should be enabled to come in and see what we're doing. Yeah. And be part of it.
And so just give them a token fiver, I thought was brilliant, because yeah. It's just like you're paying guests, but we'll give you the respect. It's like, it's a pint, mate, it's 2 pints. What's yeah. it? Look what you're getting.
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't begrudge putting a fiver in. Yeah. They don't.
No, and they are turning up right at the very end of the day.
And there was no trouble last night at all.
No, I don't think there's been any trouble at all, has there, really?
Nothing at all. There was one girl, she had some LSD and some magic mushrooms, but I think that was a young man from Aberystwyth gave her that, so yeah. It wasn't associated to the outside.
I must admit, I actually quite enjoyed seeing... I noticed several young people scattered around the place who were being fascinated by, you know... an oak stump or whatever else it was they'd come across.
Well, last week I did the Plymouth Folks Fest, and they were just fascinated all day and all night with nitrous oxide.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all you could hear.
Yeah.
It's like glue sniffing to me, that stuff. It's disgusting. And they were selling that meow bubble, they was calling it.
Yeah.
All night. And here...
Here
they're on a different level.
Yeah.
You know, like this, we're having a conversation. It's all about, they've been educated, I think. And that's why the education in the right environment with spirit of love can be very empowering for the masses. Mm-hmm. If this crew was running last week, they wouldn't have been setting fire to the tents, and they wouldn't have been...
Mm.
A few little mad incidents happened last week.
Mm.
That wouldn't have happened if it was this infrastructure running it.
Do you think we'll be able to keep it like this? I mean, obviously, because it's here to renew the farm and all that, we're kind of restricted. It's not going to get any bigger. Do you think we can keep building on it and not see it go that way? Not see it become just a festive mechanism?
This, I believe, should be the... private party for the crew that are here and for their friends that come, basically what it is. But this spirit should be taken to other events with a bit of a bigger opportunity for a larger infrastructure, but with the same philosophy. 1, outstanding beauty. 2, yeah, money is important, but the spirit of love is number one. We're doing it for love, not for money. The money will come. If you do it properly, well, it has to come.
Yeah.
And it's only right. And if you put it right and put it back in, you can make it bigger and better and more beautiful every year, because familiarity does lead to content.
Mm.
But if it's being pumped in the name of love,
yeah,
they'll keep coming back each year, and each year they're being more and more inspired, which I've found here.
Yeah.
There is a bit more getting better and better and smoother. And
yeah. But I'm with you there. I really do think that the way is we can't grow any bigger than we are because of the land we're on.
On this one.
And you've got to make it so that
this
one, if you like, becomes a little bit exclusive, but it would be really great to
have this
to
crew
take good
it.
Practice. One of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to see certain members of this crew mix with some of the other crews that I'm mixing with who are trying to do the same thing, who are trying to make...
Well, that makes you a good man then, because I feel the same with me in security. I'm trying to amalgamate the good companies that I come across.
Yeah.
To make the biggest, best crew.
Yeah.
And if you're able to do that same thing, then that's our little inner buzz, knowing that. Yeah, Dolly, you've got a good crew. They've got a good crew together.
Do you know what I'd really like to do? What I think would be really brilliant is if you could get your ace crew together. And, I mean, this is obviously a big thing, 3-4 days, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
What I think would be really great, and I think we talked about it a little bit last year, would be really brilliant. You'd get the best of crews, some of the bands, some of the talks and workshops and stuff, mm-hmm. and turn up on village greens or town greens, give people free tickets, and actually bring some of this stuff straight into the heart of society, one way or the other, and give people the chance to experience it, and most of all, give them the chance to become part of it, because it's still true that people, loads of people here even, haven't yet realised that actually being part of it, actually putting your sweat equity in, helping prepare the veg, preferably not dropping the litter in the first place, but if it has been dropped, helping to pick it up, that sort of thing, really gives you an opportunity to be part of a team from the heart rather than just for the money that you really otherwise don't get. And I really believe that it would change people. Just one experience, maybe just 4 hours of veg prep, you know, with a team like this would be an opportunity for change. And it does need to become a little bit more viral, although it has to be said, I'm aware now that there are actually quite a few festivals, small festivals.
Yeah, I'm starting to spring up.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just having that, with that philosophy.
Have you got a roadie, mate?
Yeah, it's back there, bro. And there's a bit of...
Oh, wicked.
There's a lump of green there. Just want to put a bit of that in.
Oh, wicked. Thank you very much. We'll edit that bit out, shall we?
I think we have to be stronger of this cannabis thing. Yeah, we're not blaming. There's no children present. We're not promoting it. But what you said, loss, harm, damage. And there was another one. But the loss, harm and damage, distress. Loss, harm and distress.
Yeah.
I am causing loss, harm and distress to no one. So people that want to cause me loss, harm and distress, they'll get their karma.
Yeah,
they will get their karma. Whether they lock me up, some weird things have happened to me in the past when I've been oppressed.
Yeah,
God's honest truth, supernatural shit.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in Winston Green prison on false charges, that's when Strange Ways riots kicked off.
Yeah.
I was in Winston Green the same time as in the church kicking off. Moralistically kicking off,
yeah.
Singing more powerfully than they ever fucking heard.
Yeah.
Right. A force of evil took over. Strange Ways, you know, and people did get chopped up. But it was something I didn't like. But when they fuck with the true love, they're fucked.
Yeah.
It's amazing what things happen.
Yeah.
And it's...
So you're going to come back next year then?
I'm part of this family now.
Yeah.
I want to be and I want to see it grow. And they're not perfect. We've got a perfect festival.
Yeah, it's...
For what it is.
It's always going to be a little bit difficult at the root's end, isn't it? It's all... There's got to be a team gluing it together, and the festival, I agree, has been perfect.
But I want to see it grow now. I think in 5 years, I think this will be too self-indulgent.
So, that's one of the things that happens, isn't it? So I guess Your kind of suggestion for evangelism is really one of the things we've got to think about, is how do we make it so that the stuff that's been learned here doesn't get lost when this does become self-indulgent or too big or whatever it is? How do we make sure that the stuff that's been going on here is kind of carried on, sown into young minds, put into other places,
well,
so they don't have to learn it all again? We're still learning the lessons here. It's still hard for the people who are, if you like, I would call it the top of the tree.
But between us, we have the knowledge. That's the beautiful part about it. When we sit down properly and find out that we have all the answers between us.
Mm.
And if we put that in music, we put it in light, we put it in how we move the crowds around in a safe, beautiful, supernatural, sound environment, 3 days, they go away different people.
Mm.
People experienced it from Glastonbury back in the 80s, and it changed cities. And it needs that kind of level of hybrid interaction, not stupid like canned laughter, you know, like the BBC. Everyone laughs. In a subtle, beautiful, elegant, calm, loving way.
Yeah.
Melt people. It will absolutely melt people. And I know the knowledge and wisdom and talent is amongst this people on this field today now. Despite all the money that have gone, just the ones that are left. If that was our goal, this is the ground. We've got 5,000 people can fit into this land. The brief is to let them people go away as if their troubles have gone.
Mm.
As if they can face the world like warriors or like princesses.
Yeah, yeah.
We can do it with them. You know, you're a bard. You know that through the generations, through hundreds of years, they've been doing that shit.
Yeah.
But the media, the mass media, they've taken control.
Yeah.
They'll only let us have what they want to give us. They want to put us in the mood that they want to put us in. But we're saying no. We know we can change people. They don't need drugs, they don't need fuck all, they just need the music, the light and the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we take the music, the light and the atmosphere, and we can change things on a global scale, I believe.
Yeah.
Butterfly effect. The atmosphere will create with 100,000 people all feeling that same energy.
Yeah.
They'll feel it in Australia.
Yeah. All right. I mean, how many people get to see stuff on any of the media or the television like some of the stuff we've seen? I mean, forget
Boom Town Rats. I've fucking seen him last week. He didn't even mention Peaches. Didn't even mention her. I was saying, God, sing a song for Peaches then.
Yeah.
You know, she died 3 weeks later. Surely you can sing a song for her.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it's not related to his real life.
Yeah, it was his real life as I put on the show.
Yeah.
Look at my suit, it's mega! And everyone's like, drawn into it like fucking zombies. And I thought, I'm not part of this shit. Mm. I don't feel. When they were all doing that thing on the hill there yesterday, I thought, yeah, this is cool. Yeah. This is groovy.
What was that they were doing there?
I don't know, it's just a bit of samba kind of beat, and they was all in a big circle. And
oh, right, yeah, we had that wild band kind of turned up, and
yeah,
people were following them, and there was,
a bit of kind of spontaneity, kind of mass euphoria. And
that's another thing I like about here, is that you've got three stages, but there's all manner of people just turning up and doing their thing.
Oh, that little field where just the crew camping there was just always six or seven different Irish fiddlers and music, and they were just playing all the time. They were very little private. And to me, it was elite, you know what I mean? It was just fantastic waking up, listening to that, and then the music was good this year. There was a bit more cool, a bit more commercial in their kind of.
I quite like that. That's something that people are really going to notice in the show, is that we have got some stuff that is definitely not bluegrass or country rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really, really great to see that introduce some of the more modern and more non-compliant stuff. More, you know, I'll be playing some of it. People like the John Preston tribute band, who are absolutely wicked. very, very politically...
Was that the Manchester lot, was it?
I think he came from Norfolk, I think.
Oh, right. Because there were some guys from Manchester last night. I thought they were really funny, going on about Adidas trainers. Yeah. And
The music has expanded. Has expanded here this year, and it's gone down well.
Is it that they're obviously pulling purse strings by having friends come, because with the budget, with the standard of... They were better than Bob Geldof. Most of the bands here, the show that was put on. But there was show after show, and it was just like star after star to me. But they're not stars, because they're all... They're all normal here, isn't it? It is an elite festival, and I'm so proud to be...
Elite in the proper sense of the word.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, as in, yeah. Yeah.
They're just all cool. You know, you haven't got loads of roughneck, look at you, and wanting to... Guitars and £300 bits of kit. Just left there, and people are relaxed with it, you know, and it's...
That's another thing I really liked, is I lost my voice recorder. I've lost my voice recorder a couple of times at the festival. It's one of the buggers. It's small and black. And you put it down to record something, and then you just get up and wander off. And Jess went to look at reception at the kind of ticket office. And just as she arrived there, a lady turned up who'd been clearing up round the bar. And she had an armload of technology, cameras and voice recorders and stuff, and it was all just there. It was picked up, it was taken down, and not a single bit of it's left. It's all been reclaimed.
Yeah,
and as far as I know, none of it was nicked.
I've been to the other festival, Glastonbury, and you handed it to someone. You think you ain't going to hand it in, are you? I'll just give it to you, and you're just going to pocket it.
Mm.
You know, it's been given to me in good faith by a member of the public. Mm. I'm giving it to you. And you're just going to put it straight in your pocket, and it's heartbreaking. Or not even thieves. They're just that disorganised. They give it somewhere else, and we don't know where it is. The night shift give it to the day shift, and the day shift don't know where it's been put. And it's wrong. Whereas here, it's small enough. It's either at the box office or it's gone into the house.
Yeah. Well, let's just hope we've broken even, eh? Because I gather that even though, I mean, last year the sun came out and it wasn't as full as it was this year, but they did sell a lot of tickets in the long run. But Dolly made it quite clear that we need to at least break even this year. And they've had to make a lot. Like you say, the money is unfortunately part of the whole thing.
Well, it's essential. If you want to make it bigger and better, and money... It's only the love of money that's the root of all evil. I don't think money is. It's if you just love it and want to collect it and store it, then that's evil. But if you want to gather it so you can reinvest it, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and really, the kind of money's going to empower the crew, isn't it? They've done an awful lot in 3 years.
Well, if I can fill my tank up with diesel, I feel a lot more empowered than having to hitchhike. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. If I've got my kit, you know, I'm not being materialistic. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And, you know, by being organised, you can earn a dollar. And as long as you're just like, fuck you, I want to make money. Yeah. I like to make money, but if I have to make it on someone else's back, I'd rather be fucking selling the big issues.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, let's hope, you know, this year the core crew got free drinks and free meals, and this year the surrounding crew were, if you like, handing over a quid for our beer instead of 3.5 quid, and we were handing over a quid for our food.
Oh, Jesus Christ, 2 years ago I was given pot rivets and washers.
I remember that.
By the pile.
I remember that. And I was thinking, I was looking at the pot rivets and washers that you gave me, and I was thinking, actually, these things are more than the real currency.
See, I was
more than the money.
It was good on that level, but it's got to break even, you know what I mean?
I think it will this year.
It drew them in, and they have. They've been more business-fied, and they have to be, without being breadheads.
Yeah.
I mean, I did feel a bit inferior being only Silver Command. Silver dinner tickets rather than gold.
We only got pink ones, mate. We were right down on the bottom. But at the same time, more and more we're finding that as crew... because of the money thing, you sort of feel that it's fair enough to be putting a bit of money in a pound instead of £3.50
for
a drink. That's fair enough. Because I thought, well, to start with, my first response to that was, well, fucking hell, that's a bit tight, isn't it? But then I thought, well, you know, if it's a choice between me putting a little bit in as well as all the effort and having fire in the mountain next year, or me not doing that and not having fire in the mountain next year, then bloody hell, I'll give you £1.50 for a meal because the food's good.
No, but once the extra profit's there and they're making profit, then you got the right to say, hey, come on, I've done this job. I'm at least entitled to a fucking gold ticket. Yeah. You know what I mean? But while they're struggling, not on that mind. I'm going to go back to check on the old trouble and strife.
No, that's really brilliant, mate. Thank you very much. Should we have a hug for the microphone?
Cheers. And I'm sorry, microphone. Life has took its toll on me the last 2 years. And I don't think it's the early onsets of Alzheimer's. I just think it's... life takes its toll on you. And you know, obviously... Perhaps, well, footballers after 40, they're not in their prime anymore. And I'm getting older.
Perhaps a little bit less security and a little bit more festivaling and stuff like that. Stuff's got to change, hasn't it, as time goes on?
I've got faith in it. I need to go further afield. You know, I know the best of the Brits have already eloped. They've gone. And it's just this mentally ill people that are still here. So, for that reason, I can't expect the cream of the crop anymore.
No, but it's cool by me. I'm staying here, mate.
No, I'm
that
going
won't to... let me out anymore anyway, so...
No, that's love as well, you know. Yeah. We've got to take care of the people that are not so fortunate and had the same upbringing as ourselves. You know, they're good people. They might be a bit more ignorant, but might be a bit more naive, but... Love, it will conquer. It will.
It will. Thank you very much, Mr.
Cheers,
Anthony
Dr.
Baines.
Rock.
I appreciate that.
And to all you subversives out there, chill out and be strong when you have to be.
Thank you very much, matey. I'll join you in the bar in a moment. Super. See you in a minute. Thanks for that, Ant.
Peace is the word. time, it's the place, it's the notion. Peace is the way we are feeling. Peace is the word, it's the word, it's the word.
That was Heal the Last Stand there and Peace is the Word. You know, I've heard that song loads of times and I've never actually heard the words at all. And before that, Anthony Bayliss, the thinking man's chap. We have so many lovely conversations, me and Anthony, about community and security and looking after people and love and open hearts. And he really does walk his talk, you know. You should see him in action. We had a bit of a discussion with Jed about what we might do with the litter next year, and Jed had this idea that a kind of horse and cart with a sort of recycling bit on the cart, just encouraging people, you know, Monty Python style, bring out your waste, would work really well. The children would really love it and all that. And we were talking about the fact that certain areas of the campsite, because it was all a little bit more beery and, you know, in certain parts maybe a little less committed than of your, you see, campsites like the one that I used to live in, just completely surrounded in, I don't know, junk and half-eaten food and crushed cans and all that sort of stuff. And Anthony was telling me that he figured the approach would be to kind of walk in there and go, guys, why are you living like this? Where you think you're a bunch of refugees or something? You paid good money to come here, you know, and you know there could be anything under here. You could have lost your weed, tidy the place up, you'll be able to find things, and you'll feel a lot more happy about being here and stuff. And I've watched him on the gate. He really is he's an amazing character, really. If let's just say that if all of our security forces were like Anthony, we'd be in a lot less trouble than we actually are. Well, it's gone midnight, but I feel like playing a few tunes and saying a few more words. I don't think there's anybody waiting for the stream, so we'll just have two or three more tunes from bands from the gig, kicking off with Vlad the Inhaler from Sheila na Gig, who played an absolute blinder, it has to be said. They were outrageous.
Thank you. walks down the dying street, stumbling with the undead, looking for a place to eat. Avoiding eye contact with a baseball hat, he pays and walks away. What can you say when all your meaningful activity is just a distant memory and nobody can get you out of bed? You're decomposing rapidly, both mentally and physically, and everyone knows you're dead, 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 dead. Flat inhaler, flat inhaler, flat inhaler, flat inhaler. Pass it on to me. La 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 la
gonna do with my heart? Oh, what you gonna do with my heart? Since I gave it to you, well, you've torn it apart. So what you gonna do with my heart? So when you gonna change your damn ways? So when you gonna change your low down ways? There are rights and wrongs in this life, I know. That's what my mama says. Well, when are you gonna change your damn ways? Well, is it why? Is it when? Well, all these questions must come to an end. I want all those nagging demons racing on out the door. You give me so much money, but I need more.
Kidnap Alice there with What You Gonna Do With My Heart. I really love that band. I've been listening to it tirelessly now for 2 or 3 years, and I just think they're grand. Really great to dance to as well. Before that, the John Langan Band and a track called Emphysema off their album Bones of Contention. Both John Langan and Kidnap Alice had a lot of new tunes they were playing on the stage, but no new stuff out of the recording studios yet. Hopefully they'll be in there soon. And before that, Sheila Nagig, Vlad the Inhaler, of Cirque Insomnia, their 2013 album. Sheila Nagig were actually they were great on stage, because not only are they're every bit as awesomely tight when they're live as they are on their studio work, but they also do I guess you'd call it, I don't know, dramatic stuff. Well, they kind of play with each other on stage. They have these kind of characters they develop, and they're quite good at taunting the audience. There's a lot of drama as well as the music, and fantastic fiddle playing. And this year they all did a bit of crowd surfing as well. And when I saw them after the gig and said that I'd enjoyed the drama and the crowd surfing, they said, yeah, we've never done the crowd surfing before. And I said, well, brave guys, that's all I can say. At that time of night, in that particular courtyard, with all of those people outside the bar, throwing yourself at their mercy. But work really well. Fantastic, really. If you want a good dancey night out, any one of those bands, Sheila and the Gig, the John Langan Band, or Kidnap Alice. Really, really recommended by Dr. Rock Surgery, for what it's worth. The John Langan Band put on a really blinding performance this year as well. Last year, I think they were on a lot later, and they made the mistake of turning up in what is a very, very confusing part of Wales and way out in the back of beyond, really. And it's much, much harder to navigate that way, isn't it? So they were a bit late. They were under a bit of pressure. They still played well, but this year, for three guys, I tell you, they make the most amazing noise. Very, 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 very enjoyable. For my part, this year's fest was really great. You can tell from my conversation with Anthony that I'm kind of used to watching festivals grow now. They seem to go through a kind of more or less a predictable cycle, which involves moving from being specialist and having your friends and all that kind of stuff along to when you say to people now, we're going to Fire in the Mountain, people say, I've heard of that. A lot of the festivals I go to, people haven't necessarily heard of, but Fire in the Mountain's got a real name for itself. And so it's going to start attracting a different sort of people. Where it goes next year is anybody's guess. But clearly I enjoyed loads of the music. Like I said earlier on, most of the bands that I really enjoyed live on the stage, as it were, don't even make CDs. They just play live. There's a kind of scratch band called Cut a Shine who do a Cayley on the Saturday afternoon. And there must have been a dozen and a half people on the stage, all from various bands that we'd seen. And this year, Dry and Warm, they really raised this cloud of dust over the place as all of these people were hammering around, whooping and dancing. So I love the music, I love the barnyard, I love the bar, really, really just loads of great beers on in there, and it's kind of stable. It's a great place to hang out anyway, and you can see the stage from there. I enjoyed my time in the healing area because all the noisy stuff happens on the top of the hill, and there's a kind of lane that runs down over a stream, and the healing area is held in the elbow of this stream, and is a set of yurts and bell tents. This year, rather than having a variety of stuff down there, they chose to have mostly masseurs in there because that's what people wanted last year, and it's what they wanted this year as well. There are other things going on too. We had really lovely opening stuff and space clearing with Katie Creone, who was on this show last year around this time. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the food. People might remember last year the food outlets were kind of limited, which is a strategic choice, I guess. The idea is to try and keep as much of it within the crew as possible, because the more commerce that's invited in, the more difficult it gets in a way. But it can be difficult serving food just out of a couple of outlets. And this year they've got two stone-baked pizza ovens that were built. They've been built over the last 2 or 3 years. First year I went along, the rain had got to them, so they didn't work particularly well. Last year they got them sorted, but it was pretty chaotic, actually, in the serving area. This year, they seem to have got it really, really well sorted out. They had the two ovens going, and they could turn out pizzas in 10 minutes or so once people turned up. Very, very good. Nice, tasty pizzas as well. Although each time I got there, we got roasted garlic, and basil. On them, I think, which was really nice, but it would have been great to have a bit of mushroom and all that kind of stuff. I think they could have really increased the value of the pizzas, but they were well tasty. They also had a couple of nights there were people smoking chicken. That's not actually skinning it up and smoking it, but smoking it before barbecuing it. That was pretty tasty as well. And as usual, the main kitchen, which is part of the farm buildings, was turning out loads of food. And of course, my favourite people at the Moringa Cafe turn out about the best coffee that I think I've ever tasted. It was a great place to go to first thing in the morning. And amazing baguettes of one sort or another. So the food was really great too. In terms of the bands, like I say, I can't really play you all of the best stuff I saw, although I think I'm trying to give you a bit of a spread of just exactly what it was we heard there. There's obviously all I can do really is scratch the surface. Extraordinary events. The crew themselves turned up at the middle of Saturday night, I think it was. It's all a bit vague, I have to admit. All dressed in black and gold glittery costumes and glittery makeup with, must have been, oh, I don't know, 50, 60 of those outdoor candles, you know, that you can carry. And they were processing around and, again, doing a bit of performance, a bit of drama. And they pulled in a lot of the festival behind them, wandering around the place. And they eventually found their way to the heart of the festival, which is basically a kind of grassy bank with a dragon's head on the end of it. And dragon's head's spectacular. You can actually put bits of cardboard plate and stuff into a pair of fireplaces and its nostrils smoke. And they did some kind of performance, which I couldn't quite keep up with because I was actually in conversation with a lawyer, rather surprisingly at that time. It was a very interesting conversation. And they had the sort of crazy band, the sort of Sambrish kind of band that Anthony was mentioning in his interview. And they'd been playing this kind of rough Sir Henry-style music, Sir Henry Rawlinson's End, you know, a bit like the Bonzo Dog Doodah band. And they also did a bit of samba-styly stuff. But once the performance was finished, they just kicked off, and they were absolutely brilliant. And the whole place just kind of exploded into dancing and shouting. And I also really enjoyed the geezer who turned up with a Diablo, which is like a piece of string on a pair of sticks. There's always a lot of firework at these festivals, people juggling fire. You would be amazed at the number of different ways there are of playing with fire on a dark night. But this guy had a Diablo and a burning bicycle wheel. I think he'd done some stuff before that, because when I got to him, he just had his trousers on, and he was playing with this thing. And he eventually whipped his trousers off, leaving himself with a thing that I didn't recognise, but apparently it's called a mankini. And the highlight, he also had several hundred people around him at this stage. He took the mankini off as well and started skipping around the place with a burning skipping rope. I thought that was pretty good. Like I said to the lady beside me, I said, well, there's something you don't see every day. And she covered her eyes and said, thankfully. And I could sort of see what she meant, but at the same time, hey, you know, we like the novelty of it all. Most of all, I liked being with the crew. I liked helping out. I enjoyed putting the tents up. I enjoyed manhandling all the kind of stuff that the vehicles were going to be travelling over in the way into the muddy fields. I enjoyed helping to deal with the difficulties that arose. And, you know, like I say, it's running something with 1,600 people and all the bands, and there must have been hundreds of crew, really, by the time it was all running. It's a kind of controlled chaos for the people who are holding the main places of responsibility, which is not me. It's very, very hard work, and you can see that it is. But actually being part of it, being useful, having to think on your feet, having to come up with solutions because everybody else is busy as well, is the most rewarding thing of all, in my opinion. And I look forward to doing more of it as time goes by. What I'd really like to see, though, is some of the inventiveness and generosity and speed of thought that is demonstrated at these places being demonstrated in our everyday lives. And like Anthony said, a lot of it's down to love and peacefulness and compassion and all that kind of stuff, because our own approach really changes what happens as a result of what we do. It was fire in the mountain like last year. I remember describing it last year as sublime, and I think I'd describe it that way this year as well. In all the time I was in that field, as I said in the chat with Anthony, my mind really didn't leave the field. I was thoroughly occupied and entertained by the people I was meeting, the bands I was listening to, the drama I was seeing, or just sitting in the sunshine with a coffee, watching the people, watching so many happy, happy people enjoying themselves. It does have to be said, I think, that Carol from the John Preston tribute band had a bit of a point. I'm kind of used to being in places where people are largely awake to what is happening to them and where they're kind of engaged, at least with recognising it, if not necessarily actively with doing something about it, although most of them are that. I think the Fire in the Mountain Festival is far more about the music and the entertainment and the chill, but I think we all need places like that to go to. And whilst I wouldn't necessarily have encouraged people to accompany me to places like Stonehenge, or certainly say the Reading Rock Festival, which was just basically a booze and noise fest, I really do think that this festival and many others around are really astonishing places to go and experience a kind of concentrated version of life. You can sort it's all the stuff that's writ large out here in the real world is writ small in these places, but they're places where you can go and meet people who are just lovely. That, you know, I had so many amazing conversations with people who I either sat down to and chatted to, or who came and sat down and chatted to me. And again, it's something that we just don't see in our everyday life. And for me, it seriously recharges my batteries. It gives me hope. It reassures me that there are many, many lovely, informed, gentle people out there with whom we can all interrelate. And I think that's the way it is. I think we've been given this kind of delusion from the media, from the radio, the television, the newspapers, that everything is one way. But I think we know, don't we, that people are fundamentally decent and generous, and they really want to help. It's something we come across again and again. And I'm looking forward thoroughly to being back at the Fire in the Mountain next year, however it is that it turns out. Whatever it is that's on, I think we'll be a little bit busier, perhaps moving a little bit closer to the core of the crew, and trying to take a bit of the weight off the small number of people who actually run the thing when it's live and in the run up to it, and then have to deal with all of the stuff afterwards. And thoroughly looking forward to that. As it is at the moment, we've got a few weeks off from the festivals now. I think the next one up is going to be the Truth Juice Gathering at the end of July, followed by the Green Gathering at the beginning of August. Both of those are normally very rewarding in terms of interviews and time spent in the field, so I'm sure there'll be stuff coming from them. But I'm looking forward now to a bit of gardening, bit of hanging out in the woods, and bit of thinking maybe. So, we're coming to the end of this show, I guess, really. I've already gone over half an hour over the limit, but I'm going to play another bundle of three songs before I actually sign out for the night. We heard Opaque earlier on in the show, playing a song called They Chose to Lead Us. And this particular bunch of three songs kicks off with a song called Unity, Sail Away. And the Unity bit of it, I'm all for, and they'll be followed by some Rob Heron. I'll come back to you just before the end of the show.
Can I beg the question of your very existence? Do you believe in religion? Is it superstition? Is it evolution? It's many contributions. My total confusion. You can't be certain. It's a bloody miracle.
daily basis. Why not embrace this with a human race? Yeah, it's a bloody miracle that we're at all. Forget about your money, forget about your greed, forget about your age, you gotta be your creed. Forget about your nationality. Stop with us, the unity. Come with you, tops and you, white keys, and come with you, flags and you, Hippies. Come you Poles, you Chinese, come stand with us. Stand with us for
mildew in my bathroom and a backyard discovery. Money to you. Some folks like the summertime when they can walk about. Strolling in the meadow green, it's a pleasure, there's no doubt. But just give me the winter time when the snow is on the ground. Founder, when the snow is on the ground. Traced her little footprints in the snow, in the snow. Traced her little footprints in the snow. And I blessed that happy day when Nellie lost her way. Found her when the snow was on the ground. All those happy days I've had in my life, but the day that I treasure most is when Nellie become my wife. I found her little footprints and I traced them through the snow. I found her when the snow was on the ground. I traced her little footprints in the snow, in the snow. Traced her little footprints in the snow. And I blessed that happy day when lost her way, found her when the snow was on the ground. Now she's up in heaven, she's with an angel band. Someday I'll go and meet her in that happy land. For every time the snow falls, it brings back memories. I found her when the snow was on the ground. I found her when the snow was on the ground. And I traced her little footprints in the snow. And I blessed that happy day when Nellie lost her way. Found her when the snow was on the ground.
Yeah, little bit of classic bluegrass there. Cliff Carlisle playing Footprints in the Snow. Before that, Sheila Nagig and Scruffy Dog off, slipped my mind, can't remember the name of the album. And that's about it for the show, I reckon. Thank you very, very much for all of the activity and appreciation in the chat box. And for the interviews and the music and stuff. I honestly never actually thought I'd get to the point where people would be enjoying listening to the music that I'm playing. I guess I must be mellowing in my old age. And perhaps you can expect to pay for it next week with a little bit more hard rock and plenty of Motörhead. Who knows? But I'd also really like to thank the people that were involved in getting me to the Fire in the Mountain Fest. I'd like to thank the lady who's known by the crew as Diney, though we prefer to call her Diana, or better still, Mamash. We think that's a much better name for her. I'd like to thank her for being on that bus in Mexico with Synchro and telling her about the Fire in the Mountain Festival. Otherwise, we might never have made it. I'd like to thank the whole crew for making us so welcome there, really. And I'd like to thank the people, the very, very few people who really are carrying the weight of the thing on their shoulders. And I'd like to offer my help, really, for that. Obviously, thanks to all of you for being there. Thanks for the people who look after my computer, especially Tim from Tang, because this is the first week we've actually managed to get online for a while with everything working, what with the internet and the stream and the microphone and the new IDGC installation and loads of other stuff. It's been a real struggle, and I was sometimes wondering whether I could be arsed, I'll be frank. But here I am, back again. Next week, I suspect we will be talking with one of my favourite complementary practitioners who does kinesiology. She's teaching general practitioners how to use kinesiology and various other complementary schema that might be useful to them. She does belly dancing and tree spirit healing, and she's also pretty close now to getting a doctorate in sexual healing, which is going to leave me completely at sea. Mostly, I do understand a little bit about what I'm talking about when I'm interviewing people, but that one's a complete mystery to me. So that'll be Annie Day, hopefully, with us next week. In the meantime, I'm going to play out with another classic bit of bluegrass. I'm going to play Earl's Breakdown by a famous pair called Flat and Scruggs. And the last 6 minutes or so are going to be a little bit of choral stuff recorded on the voice recorder at the Fire in the Mountain. There's the Corner Gorse Choir that I found just singing in the field. They were singing over in the wild camping field. And they're going to be singing us an a cappella song called Ask a Friend, which was written by the man that was conducting them. There are about, must have been a couple of dozen of them, I reckon. Once again, a little bit muffled by the voice recorder, but really lovely when you're actually there. And as we started with the Sea Shanty Choir, I'm going to finish with the Sea Shanty Choir as well, playing a shanty called Let the Bulgine Run, which is apparently a capstan shanty, where they're all tugging away at it to pull the anchor up or whatever it is they're doing. And what they're doing is shouting the bastards that are in charge to put the bloody steam engine on and stop being so feckin' tight with the coal. See you next week. Thank you.
Across the sea, ah, hey, ah, ho, ah, you must stand.
If I tell you